In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One time a question was asked of our Lord, "What thing shall I do to enter eternal life?" This is a question no Christian should be asking. What thing should you do? Well, if a person loves Christ and realizes that they are redeemed, that they were formerly aliens and strangers, and they've been brought into the bosom of the Father by the kindness and mercy of God, they need not ask such a question. In their heart is the answer. You can answer it many ways. What shall I do to enter into eternal life? Not one thing, but many things. Because Christ showed many virtues. We can say, to enter into eternal life, we must know God. To enter into eternal life, we must follow the commandments. To enter into eternal life, we must acquire the mind of Christ. To enter eternal life, we must repent of our sins, which is also akin to desiring to follow the commandments. And then there are many virtues. They all spring from the fact that we are redeemed. We are elect. That's what the apostle calls us in one of the readings today. He says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another." We are the elect. The elect need not ask a question, "What one thing shall I do to enter into eternal life?" Or even, the elect should not be answering such a question by saying, "Well, you know, I honor my father and mother, and I give alms, and I come to church, and I haven't ever stolen, I've never killed anybody, I've never committed adultery. You know, I must be doing pretty well." But the standard for Christianity is Jesus Christ. We can't describe Jesus Christ just by saying he did not steal or kill. That doesn't describe his virtue. That doesn't describe the God-man. The God-man was long-suffering. The God-man loved all. The God-man forgave all those who hurt him. Even at the point of death, he forgave everyone. The God-man always thought of others. The God-man was always in perfect communion in prayer to his Father. And in fact, he would go away in the night, into the mountains, or away from everyone in order to pray. The God-man obeyed his Father to the letter. Not because his Father required of it, but because that was his desire. Jesus' desire to obey his Father as a son obeys his Father. Because first and foremost, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, only begotten of the Father before all ages. What shall we do to inherit eternal life? Become like Christ. Now, the good news is the Lord has made us able to do this. We just celebrated his baptism, and baptism is the entrance into the church. Baptism is where the Holy Spirit descends upon us and gives us grace to become better, to become completely changed, to be lacking nothing, to be full of knowledge, full of purity, to have everything that is dark cast out of us, just as the demons fled from the waters of the Jordan when the God-man descended into them. We have all the capability because the Lord has given it to us through baptism and through his grace. To inherit eternal life, we must live as Christians. The apostle says, be kind, be humble, meek, long-suffering, patient with others. If you have a quarrel against someone, forgive. As Christ forgave you, so also do ye, so says the apostle. And it shouldn't just be the apostle that's saying these things. Your heart should say these things, because God abides in your soul. God abides in you. And He's telling you these things inwardly, with groanings that cannot be uttered in no language we know. But the language of God is understood by the soul. All these things should come out of the heart, because God abides in it. Now, it's good if we don't steal and don't commit adultery, but those are just the beginning of the Christian life. The Christian life is to be full of mercy towards others, because God was full of mercy towards us. To be kind to everyone, including people that are not kind, including people that are stupid, including people that are wicked. To be humble, even when we're right. To forgive, even those people that have done something that really is disgusting, something against our person or against our friends or family. Or perhaps just against our ego. All these virtues have to come from the heart. But you have to have a good place for Christ to live in this heart of yours. It has to be, as it were, hewn out of a rock, chipped away, and made into a decent living area for the Holy Spirit. And this takes work. This takes effort. This takes prayer. Receiving of the holy mysteries, confession of your sins, struggling every day to reset your priorities so that they are God's priorities and not your own. We can't have the attitude of this young ruler. What good thing shall I do? What good thing shall I do? What do you mean? My whole life should be offered as a sacrifice to God because of what He's done for us. The other reading, the apostle says, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And such a gift it is. You wonder where we get the tropar for Pascha? It's right here, right out of the scriptures. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens that he might fill all things. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, leading captivity captive, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. The same Christ that went down into the bowels of the earth, that same Christ ascended. With the same humanity that he put on when he was born, he ascended. Our humanity can also ascend, but we must follow his way of life. Christians are not minimalists. Our society is a very minimalist society. How much can we do to, well, how little can we do to procure something we want? The Christian life is not minimal. The Christian life is giving our entire heart to God because he saved us. Because we're the elect. There are many out there that are not of the elect. Why are we so blessed? That's a question that you should be asking yourself every day. And that kind of question doesn't have an answer, per se. Instead, it should be an action that answers the question. That is, be thankful. And bless God. And follow the virtues, and cast off the works of darkness. Being a Christian is following the virtues. Now, unfortunately, this idea that is imbued in all of the Gospels, in everything Christ said, in all of the Bible in general, that because God has helped us, we are required to learn the commandments and follow them and cherish them. It has been perverted in the past few centuries, trying to say that all you need is faith to be saved. Well, I guess I can agree with that statement, if indeed one understands what faith is. Not faith as your average American or European understands it, but faith is to recognize where we were and where we will be, and what God has done for us, and how He has redeemed us, and how we are the elect, and how even though we were aliens and not His sons, He has by grace adopted us to be sons and daughters, to be the elect, something which we did not deserve, and something which we cannot repay by anything. And yet, our heart should desire to follow everything the Lord has put before us because of thankfulness. That's what faith is. Faith is recognizing what God has done and trying to be like the God-man Jesus Christ. Belief that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that baptism is our entry into the church and that He ascended into the heavens and we will and all those other things. That's only a very, very tiny, that's just the seed of faith. But faith grows into a great tree. And that great tree is the virtues. What God has given us should blossom in our hearts so that we would be meek, mild, long-suffering, forgiving everyone, full of compassion. Now, the Lord has said in another place that He will give you the desires of your heart. Ask Him. If you're not long-suffering, if you don't forgive people sometimes who hurt you, or if you struggle to do so and it takes you a while, or if you're not compassionate, or if you have quarrels with people and it takes a long time to amend, beg the Lord to help you. He's told you to do these things. He's given you the ability to do these things. He's given you an example in Himself and in all of the saints. Ask Him. He'll help you. Asking the Lord to help you to obtain some virtue that you are lacking, that's a prayer that He will always answer. Always. Because those are the desires of your heart. Those should be the desires of a Christian's heart. Are you aware of some virtue that you're lacking? When the apostle says to be kind, humble, meek, long-suffering, does something in you shudder and you think, I'm not like that? When he says to forbear one another and forgive one another, and if you have a quarrel, forgive as Christ forgave, does something in you shake because you know that you're not quite that kind of person, then beg the Lord to help you. The beauty of Christianity is the Lord has given us the remedy, the solution. He doesn't just tell us what to do. He gives us the ability to do it. And indeed, really, the Lord, the virtues are optional anyway, huh? All the virtues are optional. You don't need to follow them. The Lord is not requiring them of you. Many people don't follow the virtues, and they die. And then they are sorry. And many Christians don't really pursue the virtues. They're content because they do enough good things. And then they die. And perhaps they'll be saved as through fire, but you know, they won't know the Lord very well. And they'll regret. Why should we regret? The reason we follow the commandments is because they are pure and holy.